Good morning, and welcome to Simply Science. It's Friday, April 12th. On today's show, find out how smoking really affects your belly fat and learn about the Chinese scientists who built the first satellite that makes smartphone calls possible. Plus, we'll explore the science of nutrition and how it can unlock brain health. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Science. We start off with a new study shedding light on the link between smoking and abdominal fat. The research, led by German Karaskia at the University of Copenhagen, found that smoking causes specific changes in the type of fat that accumulates around the midsection. Here with more details is our Simply Science correspondent. So what exactly did this study uncover about how smoking affects belly fat?
The study looked at two types of abdominal fat, visceral fat, which is the fat that surrounds the organs deep within the abdomen, and subcutaneous fat, which is the fat that lies just beneath the skin. What they found is that smoking seems to have a direct impact on increasing the amount of visceral fat in particular. This is significant because visceral fat is considered more dangerous to health compared to subcutaneous fat. Excess visceral fat has been linked to a higher risk of conditions like type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and certain cancers.
Interesting. So it's not just about overall weight gain, but the specific type of fat that smoking encourages. How did the researchers come to these conclusions?
The team analyzed data from over 3,200 participants in a long-term study called the COPSAC cohort. They looked at CT scans to measure the two types of abdominal fat, as well as self-reported information on smoking habits. Even after controlling for factors like age, sex, physical activity, and alcohol consumption, they found that smokers had significantly higher levels of visceral fat compared to non-smokers. Interestingly, there wasn't a significant difference in subcutaneous fat between the two groups.
Did the amount of smoking make a difference in the results? For example, did heavy smokers have more visceral fat than light smokers?
Yes, the researchers did find what's called a dose-response relationship. Essentially, the more a person smoked, the higher their levels of visceral fat tended to be. Even those who had quit smoking still had higher visceral fat if they had a history of heavy smoking in the past. However, the good news is that visceral fat is often the first to go when someone loses weight. So quitting smoking and adopting healthier lifestyle habits may help reduce that dangerous abdominal fat over time.
Those are some important takeaways for anyone concerned about their health and body composition. Do the researchers have any theories on why smoking would affect visceral fat in particular?
One hypothesis is that the chemicals in cigarette smoke might interfere with normal fat storage and distribution in the body. Nicotine, for example, has been shown to increase insulin resistance, which could encourage more fat to be stored viscerally. The chronic inflammation caused by smoking may also play a role. However, more research is still needed to fully understand the biological mechanisms at play. What this study does confirm is a clear link between smoking and excess visceral fat, which is definitely concerning from a health perspective.
Absolutely. It's yet another reason to avoid or quit smoking, in addition to all the other well-known health risks. Thank you for breaking down this latest research for us. Now, shifting our focus to a different area of science and technology, let's discuss how a devastating earthquake in China in 2008, which led to the loss of over 80,000 lives and hindered rescue efforts due to disruptions in communications, spurred the Chinese government to quietly launch the Tiantong project. This project aimed to establish a satellite communication system accessible to everyone. Now, 16 years later, it has led to significant advances in satellite communication and new trends in mobile phone development. For more on this, we turn to our science correspondent. So what exactly is the Tiantong project, and how has it impacted satellite communications?
The Tiantong project, which means connecting with heaven, was China's response to the communication failures during the 2008 earthquake. The goal was to create a satellite system that would allow anyone, regardless of their socio-economic status, to make calls from their mobile phones, even in areas without traditional signal coverage. This was previously thought to be impossible due to interference issues when a satellite tries to exchange information with a large number of mobile phones on the ground. However, Chinese scientists have made significant breakthroughs to make this a reality.
That's fascinating. So how have they overcome the interference challenges to enable satellite calls from smartphones?
One of the key issues they had to solve was something called passive intermodulation. This occurs when signals from the satellite and mobile phones interact in unintended ways, causing interference. Chinese scientists created the world's first simulation software to model and mitigate this problem. By carefully designing the satellite and phone systems, they were able to minimize interference and enable reliable communication between the Tiantong satellite and ordinary smartphones on the ground.
And what does this mean for the average mobile phone user in China? Are satellite calls now widely available?
Yes, the Tiantong system is now operational and accessible to the public. For an additional fee of about 10 yuan, or $1.38 per month, Chinese mobile phone users can now make satellite calls from virtually anywhere, including remote areas like deserts or isolated islands that lack conventional cellular coverage. This represents a major step forward in making reliable communication available to everyone, not just those in well-connected cities.
It's remarkable to see how a tragedy like the 2008 earthquake has spurred such important technological advances that can benefit so many people. Thank you for this insight into China's groundbreaking Tiantong satellite project and its impact on mobile communications. For Simply Science, this is David. On a related note of improving lives, a new publication from the Gerontological Society of America explores the vital role nutrition plays in maintaining brain health as we age. The report titled Insights and Implications in Gerontology, The Vital Role of Nutrition in Brain Health, looks at dietary choices that can improve cognition and reduce the risk of cognitive impairment and dementia in older adults. For more, we're joined by our Simply Science correspondent. What are some of the key takeaways from this report?
The publication emphasizes that consuming a healthy diet is a behavioral strategy that can help prevent the development of dementia as people age. It specifically highlights the MIND diet, which stands for Mediterranean-Diet Intervention for Neurodegenerative Delay. This dietary pattern focuses on eating vegetables, especially leafy greens, as well as nuts, berries, beans, whole grains, fish, poultry, and olive oil. At the same time, it limits red meat, processed foods, butter, cheese, sweets, and fried foods. Studies have found that people who follow the MIND diet have cognitive abilities equivalent to being 7.5 years younger.
The report also looks at the role of vitamins and minerals in nutrition and brain function. What insights does it offer there?
Ideally, people should aim to get all necessary nutrients from their diet. However, the risk of inadequate vitamin and mineral intake increases with age. Certain physiological changes and disease states can affect absorption. As a result, the publication notes that many older adults may benefit from fortified foods or dietary supplements to enhance their nutritional status. As one of the faculty overseeing the report put it, while it would be great if everyone could get all their micronutrients from food, it's often really challenging for older adults. So a multivitamin is frequently recommended.
How can healthcare providers effectively discuss nutrition with older patients to support their brain health?
The publication advises using a person-centered approach that ties conversations about nutrition to the patient's individual goals. These could be physical goals like maintaining muscle mass, cognitive goals like preserving memory, or functional goals like being able to travel or play with grandchildren. By linking nutritional information to helping the patient achieve their personal objectives, it can stimulate their motivation to make healthy dietary changes. Asking patients about their goals is suggested as an effective way to broach the topic of diet and nutrition, which can sometimes be challenging.
It's fascinating to see the growing body of research on how our dietary choices can impact brain health as we age. Thank you to our Simply Science correspondent for walking us through some of the key insights from this new publication on nutrition's vital role. Clearly, when it comes to promoting lifelong cognitive wellness, we really are what we eat. And speaking of groundbreaking health research, let's turn to the fight against cancer. Bioengineered immune cells called CAR T cells have shown promise in attacking and even curing the disease. However, these cells can become exhausted if the battle goes on for too long. Now, two separate research teams have discovered a way to rejuvenate these cells by making them more like stem cells. Here with more details is our Simply Science correspondent. So tell us, how did the researchers achieve this breakthrough?
Well, David, both teams found that by engineering the CAR T cells to have high levels of a specific protein, they were able to give these cells a new lease on life. The boosted CAR T cells exhibited gene activity similar to that of stem cells, which are known for their ability to self-renew and differentiate into various cell types. This stem cell-like quality allowed the CAR T cells to regain their cancer-fighting abilities even after prolonged exposure to the disease.
That's fascinating. Can you explain a bit more about how CAR T cell therapy works and why this discovery is so significant?
Certainly. CAR T cell therapy involves taking a patient's own immune cells, specifically T cells, and genetically modifying them to express a chimeric antigen receptor, or CAR. This receptor allows the T cells to recognize and attack cancer cells specifically. The modified cells are then multiplied in the lab and infused back into the patient, where they seek out and destroy the cancer. While CAR T cell therapy has shown remarkable success in some cases, the exhaustion of these cells over time has been a major hurdle. By giving CAR T cells stem cell-like properties, researchers have found a way to overcome this limitation and potentially improve the long-term effectiveness of the treatment.
It sounds like this discovery could have a significant impact on cancer treatment. What do experts in the field think about these findings?
Immunologist Tuoki Wu from the University of Texas Southwestern, who was not involved in the research, believes that these papers open up a new avenue for engineering therapeutic T cells for cancer patients. The ability to rejuvenate CAR T cells and maintain their cancer-fighting capabilities could lead to more durable and effective treatments. It's important to note that both papers were published today in the prestigious journal Nature, underlining the significance of this discovery in the scientific community.
Thank you for that insightful explanation on the latest findings in CAR T cell therapy. It's always exciting to hear about breakthroughs in cancer research that could potentially lead to better outcomes for patients. We'll be sure to keep an eye on further developments in this field. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Science. We'll see you back here tomorrow.